You are now listening to the Sports Life Talk podcast, hosted by Kevin Tumnus and Serge Vasudevic, where life without sports is just talk, on blogtalkradio.com.
Well, you know what today is. It's a day where it's going to be a lot of eating, cussing, drinking, and people calling in on Monday. So it must be Super Bowl Sunday. Serge, we know we got the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New England Patriots. So we're going to make our Super Bowl picks on this episode. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. I'm going to go with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. I can't believe they're made another Super Bowl run, man. It's crazy how they keep doing it. It'll be 8 Super Bowls for Tom Brady, 6 wins. I'm not picking them to win. I mean, this is going to be amazing. I think it'll be a really good game. I think the Eagles are, their defense is stout. And if Nick Foles plays somewhat similar to how he played in the NFC Championship game, they'll give the Patriots a run for their money. And, we saw that, the Falcons obviously, did play offensively, obviously a certain type of way in the first half last year. But I just think Brady's on a mission. I think he wants to just prove and make sure that everybody and their mama knows that I'm the greatest quarterback of all time, for sure, even though I think he already is, but possibly greatest football player ever. And like we had mentioned in episode 7 of the podcast, possibly even the greatest athlete of all time. And I think he's going to cement that. And I think they go ahead and win the Super Bowl.
I'm going to go with you because I sure as hell, I'm not picking the Philadelphia Eagles ever in anything in life. I will never, ever pick them. So I'm going to go with Brady winning that and also being the MVP of this Super Bowl. Can you agree with that one?
Yes, I'll go with that one too. I think they don't win if he doesn't play great. So I don't see somebody else playing that much better than him. You would have to play, unless the receiver puts up 200 yards or running back puts up 3 or 4 touchdowns, defensive player has a pick six and another pick, I just don't see how they would give anybody else the MVP. And so, yeah, I think Brady also gets the MVP to go along with. And to say that they're going to do all of this without probably their best, actual wide receiver, Julian Edelman, and being out the whole season, it's just
amazing. It's amazing, man, that they just plug and replace. You know what? Now I want to go off a little. I said Tom Brady. I'm going to go on Deion Lewis. I think Deion Lewis is going to have a really big game, and I think he may be the MVP, which is probably won't happen.
Yep.
I'm not really hungry now, so I can't go over my gut. My gut was wrong last week when I picked the Jags to beat the Patriots, and then I would have had the Jags winning the Super Bowl. So I was wrong for once. There's not that many times in my life where I am wrong. So let's talk about Tom Brady. How many years did we see him playing, and will Bill Belichick be there to see him retire?
I see him playing the 2 more years that he has on his contract. I know he's said on multiple occasions that he wants to play until he's 45. He's 40 now. I don't see him playing till 45. I do see him playing 2 more seasons, and those 2 more seasons could be 2 more Super Bowls.
Which is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, at least 1 more Super Bowl. And even if he doesn't win, making it to both of them is a very high possibility. And, of course, this is all contingent on no injuries. If it's no injuries to him, it doesn't matter who else gets hurt on the team, because it don't really make a difference. I see him playing out the 2 years, because I think I've heard some side stories about how his wife is really getting on his case about trying to figure out a way to retire. At some point, I think there's going to come a day I feel like he's going to wake up and be like, man, I don't know if I want to keep doing this, even though physically I can still keep doing it. All the, off-season stuff, mini camps and, all of that stuff, even before even training camp starts. I just don't know that many more years he's going to want to keep doing it. And then obviously his kids are getting older. He's probably going to want to spend more time with them and stuff like that. So for those, all of those collective reasons, I would say he's going to play two more years, ride out his contract, and then go off into the sunset and, hey, not having to look back and just know, hey, I was the greatest to ever do it.
But my thing is, I don't see him, that being a problem with him going to training camp. He's not the Brett Favre type. I think he likes to go and work with the guys and to get better. But I think one of the things he wanted to do was, hey, if I did not play for the Patriots, after my contract was done, I think he wanted to go to the 49ers and at least play a couple of years there in front of his family. But guess who ruined that for him?
Jimmy G.
So now that's out the door. So now I think after his contract's over, he'll ride out to the sunset with another Super Bowl, unless he's playing against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I think Belichick will be there to see him retire. If they win, I think he stays for sure. I think if they, for some reason, somehow the Eagles were to beat them, I still want to lean towards him staying, but it still leaves a little bit of door open just because of all the stuff that came out a few weeks back about what's been going on with between Belichick and Brady and obviously Robert Kraft and stuff like that. I say that he stays. I don't think he ends up breaking it up. If it ain't broke,
yeah,
trying to fix it now.
But yeah,
just wait.
I can see Belichick staying around because he wants to show everybody, hey, I can do this without Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Hell, I had Matt Castle. We went 11-5 with him. I can do it without him. It was me. It wasn't Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So I want to see that. You mentioned if somehow the Eagles won. If I hope that doesn't happen.
Okay. Are you going to call into work that Monday?
I may have to.
Call into life that Monday.
I'm going to have to call into something because that's going to be the day I do not want to see. If that happens, what should the Eagles do with Nick Foles?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. How would you like to be in Carson Wentz's shoes? He's a franchise quarterback.
Yes, he is.
So there should be no quarterback controversy, period. This is similar to back with the Rams. They had Mark Bulger playing lights out, gets hurt. Kurt Warner comes in,
That was Trent Green. It was Trent Green. Trent Green got hurt. That's when Kurt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. Good catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the greatest show on turf happened.
Yes.
And Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk.
That was mean, man.
That's a Pro Bowl lineup
there. Yes, it is.
And so just kind of knowing that and something similar, I think Nick Foles is definitely not going to want to be I don't think he's going to want to be a backup. I think he'll definitely want to start and be a starter somewhere else. But like, man, I just won the Super Bowl. I beat Tom Brady. And especially if he plays 75-80% of how he played against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. I mean, dude, he's got skills. I mean, he's not that old. So he's still got some years left. And I think another team, there's plenty of teams that out there that need a quarterback that aren't going to be able to find it in the draft. So, or have other needs as well. So, they might need to make that trade and go ahead and pick up Nick Foles. And it's just like you just got to put the right system around him. And Nick Foles is, he's going to want to play. But, on the other hand, if he just wants to be a team player and, just be part of a great organization. And, I've won the Super Bowl.
No.
I don't see that happening and playing behind Carson Wentz. So, like you said, if for some reason that happens, Nick Foles, should be traded. And you get good value for him in return, a high draft pick so that – the Eagles can just put better players around Carson Wentz, whether it's on the offensive side, some playmakers out there, or even though you already have a stout defense, make sure it's even better. So at some point you're going to end up losing one of those guys to free agency or something because some team's going to come scoop them up. So you got to be able to plan for the future too. But they got a good thing going. Nick Foles shouldn't be ever become a problem if they win.
Look here. If the Eagles win, Tom Brady, please don't let this happen. I'd rather you win like 12 Super Bowls before the Eagles win one. Okay, if he wins, I think the team that should go after him would be the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Because you got Johnson coming back. I want to say Fitzgerald's going to play another year, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
And they already have a decent defense. They need to fill in some holes. So you have everything set in place. So please don't win. And then even if you lose, go to the Cardinals. Because the fact that you got that team to the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz, it speaks a lot about you and your character.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if it's a system or him, because I mean, it's hard talking about the Eagles surge. I could care less about the organization and their fans, to be honest with you. All right, so
the life of a Cowboy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So let's get informed for next season. Let's talk about some of the Sports Life Talk sleeper teams for next year. Who do you got?
One of the sleeper teams I have is, believe it or not, I got the San Francisco 49ers as one of my sleeper teams.
Yeah, Jimmy G. Five straight, one
in. 5-0.
Yeah, with him at quarterback.
5-0. A year under the belt for Kyle Shanahan being an actual head coach instead of just being a coordinator like he was with the Falcons.
Yes.
San Francisco is a place that you can attract, because of the history of the franchise. It's in California, so you got the weather. If you're a receiver, you want to go play with Jimmy G. He's young. He's got a great thing going. So, I mean, if they were able to be 5-0 with really no real talent on the wide receiver side, running back-wise, they're not like the top. They don't have a top 10 running back or anything. So, to be able to do all that, and then because they one thing they did do was always play hard, and they played, really, really good defense, with really no having any, star players out there either. So I think they would definitely be a sleeper pick, and I think a lot of guys in the league noticed that, man, like, all the 49ers ever really needed was a quarterback.
Yes.
And that quarterback that isn't just no quarterback, he's a quarterback that was basically working behind Tom Brady, worked under Bill Belichick for all those years. So he isn't just a system quarterback. He is as good as advertised, and I think if you put the right pieces around him, they will definitely be a good, solid pick, because I think the Seahawks are reeling. I think they're, the whole, Legion of Boom is, losing its luster. Yeah.
They're done.
Legion of Boom is losing its luster.
Yes.
They don't. Their offense is just not the same, So.
Yeah, Earl Thomas wants to be a Cowboy. Please make that happen.
In that division, the Rams are really pretty much your only competition.
Yes.
And you could have them any week if you play the right way. And, they're going to be there in the fight next year for sure. And then if we just talked about Nick Foles going to the Cardinals and David Johnson coming back, I mean, Seattle might be on the bottom. Look it up.
So I wanted to add to that. Not only could they get Nick Foles, Alex Smith, I don't think he'll be the starter there in Kansas City next year.
Yeah.
So now you get Alex Smith and Nick Foles to go with the Cardinals with Johnson coming back with that defense with Larry Fitzgerald, the receivers Nelson and Brown. Hey, they can be right there competing for a playoff spot next year. So yeah, I got the Cardinals.
Still got the Honey Badger. Still got Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about another team, the Texans.
Oh, yeah, the Texans.
They'll have Deshaun Watson coming back.
They will.
J.J. Watt coming back. And what's the other linebacker that got hurt that was out for the season?
Cushing?
Cushing. No, it was another one besides Cushing. It was another linebacker, I want to say. He got hurt.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, the one that – I think he, like, what? He tore his ACL or
– Yeah, yeah, he did something. So you have all that coming back, so we can't sleep on the Texans, even though Dallas Cowboys, we run the state of Texas, but, hey – Ooh, the Texans look good.
Texans are in, my team's division with the Colts in the AFC. So, yeah, because when the first game he played okay. But every game after that, I mean, the one against the Patriots, I mean, he was lights out.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson, I mean, he was for sure going to win Rookie of the Year the way that he was playing. Like you said, J.J. Watt coming back. They have a good solid group of running backs. They still got DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller. I like their defense with Clowney.
And what's the tight end's name? Is something that starts with an F.
Fedorowicz.
Fedorowicz. Yes. Yeah,
so they got a good complement of players, and then I think Deshaun Watson now going into the season knowing he's going to be the starter. going into preseason training camp, knowing that this is basically now your team and your franchise, yeah, less pressure also on J.J. Watt, I think will also go a long ways, because now you pretty much don't have to only rely on your defense because your offense is going to be able to pick you up.
But the one thing they have to do, they have to protect Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
So you got to up that running game where he's not running. And
like Cam Newton, like, and just putting him out there to get hit all the time.
Yeah, just run on necessary downs. If it's like third and three and nothing's there, go get it.
Throwing the ball.
Yeah, he can throw the ball. He's a smart guy, man. And I hate that he got hurt because who knows? We could be talking about the Patriots possibly playing the Texans even without J.J. Watt. So those are our four sleeper teams for next year. If you have any, please hit us up and let us know. So let's move on and talk about some little basketball and how AAU is killing the sport of basketball.
AAU basketball, as much as I know about it and have been around to hear about it and read about it and, you know, obviously see all the YouTube videos and read up on what they do, there's obviously a good – The positive side to AAU basketball is it is an outlet for kids to play organized basketball, especially the ones that are really wanting to do it for a long time, and you know, the parents that see like that their kids are talented enough to try to put them into AAU basketball. It's very good to get the attention because there's just a lot of scouts and stuff like that that are already start coming, you know, shoot. Like, you can be in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade. Like, people already start coming and watching your games because they're already plotting to see, like, who do we want to go get and give a scholarship to already when they're 12, you know?
So, yeah.
But on the downside, there are guys that do get spoiled. They do get babied a lot. They do, kind of just being able to – depending on who the coach is, depending on the program that they're playing with, they're probably not, working with the players kind of like how college coaches work with, you know, are supposed to work with those players to not just about winning, but then also making sure that they're going to be good men coming out of college into going into adult life. I think the same way, I think AAU basketball, some of the coaching side of it, and kind of the teaching side of things, and disciplining children, or kids, so that as they grow older, they're held more accountable and hold more responsibilities. And so these guys will be a little bit better when it comes to making decisions, so that you won't get the same type of mistakes that some of these things that we keep hearing about nowadays, because there are, you know, the whole, you know, I know there's some people who talk about the whole buddy-buddy thing because everybody knows each other from way back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But still creating, like, a competitive mentality in their minds. They can be friends off the court, but then keeping more of a mentality of being competitive, but at the same time doing it only strictly on the basketball court and between those lines that I want to go to war, I want to show that I'm the best. And then that, you know, off the court, I'm going to also make the right decisions, you know, treat people with respect just because I'm somebody that could potentially make it to the pros and make a lot of money, that I'm just not going to throw it away right now by, you know, putting myself around, you know, people that I shouldn't be around, and always keeping a positive energy and positive people around me. I think it's very vital that these AAU organizations start making sure that they prepare education also as a forefront.
Because my thing with AAU, if you're a coach and you're doing AAU and it's more about you than the players, then you're doing it wrong.
Of course.
Because it's AAU, of course. So you have all the talent on one team. As a coach, what are you really doing? You can put a system in and they can run it and they can run their own plays. They're going to get buckets.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story, Serge. When I was working at the other school, Thomas C. Marsh, a couple of years ago, one of my friends, her daughter can go. She can play. And she was trying to get her into the whole AAU thing. So she reached out to a coach. And one of the first things he said, he talked about the fees. The fees being like maybe $1,000 or something like that, maybe a little bit more. And she's like, okay, so what is that going towards? And his response was, hey, well, the coaches, they have to have places to stay and ways of getting to like New Orleans and Las Vegas and stuff like that. So basically all the money was going to the coaches to pay for their hotel and their travel. I mean, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Right.
You're not in it for the kids. You're in it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was talking to another one of my friends just last night. And because I'm putting my son, I'm starting off in YMCA. He's played in a couple of leagues, but I want to get used to the whole feel of it before we move on. Her first response to me was, hey, why don't you find him an AAU team? No, we're still at the bottom.
Yeah.
So if I put him on the AAU team, he's not going to get anything out of it because AAU is about talent. Now, if it's an AAU league about kids that are beginners, then heck yeah, I'll throw him in there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pay money for my son to ride the bench and while other kids are getting shine. He's only 9. We've just gotten to the point now. Well, we talk about this in every podcast. It's about winning.
Yeah.
I don't want to be about winning. I want to be about development where we can have guys that can go out and compete against those other teams. Let's break all this talent crap up and have 2 or 3 guys on one team and have some of the better players somewhere else too. The whole winning aspect of it kills me because I coach basketball, and I don't care about winning. I care about competing and teams getting better. My win-loss record means nothing. I'm a middle school coach. I make money. All the time that we put in, it's not even enough for us to go out and compete against teams. We have players who played with each other since they were 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So that's why AAU is killing. Just the word winning is killing us in sports. Period.
Yeah.
So let's move on and talk about Charles Barkley and what he said. What did you say he said about LeBron James?
He said that LeBron is the greatest sports story ever. Meaning?
Let's talk about Muhammad Ali, who he went to jail because of he didn't want to go fight in a war that he felt was a white man's war, that his people weren't benefiting from it, and he came back and still was dominant. LeBron James' story is better than that?
Yeah, I don't, because it's just like, if you're strictly talking about, you know, on the court, I don't agree. If you're maybe talking about everything else that he stands for, everything that he does, all the charitable stuff that he does, putting kids through college, coming from a single parent home, you know, making it, you know, already being on Sports Illustrated before you even make it to the league, but then like trying to live up to the hype and then switching teams and like with social, living in the day of social media and getting probably the most hate in any athlete's ever gotten. With all of that being said, I still probably wouldn't have put him at the top, but he's probably right there against people like Ali. Jim Brown has done a lot. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar before, when he was Lew Alcindor. There's so many. There's other athletes who have also done a lot who, you know, did it while they were playing and have also did whatever they did and the impact they made has continued to live on years and years or if not decades after and will live on decades after their playing careers and or even after even they don't even exist on Earth anymore.
Well, let me ask you this, Serge. Is it a better story than Jordan coming back after playing baseball and winning 3 more? Would you think it would be a better story than that?
I do. I think because of the situation that he's put under, the microscope that he's put under, because I would like to imagine, you always try to, when you compare, it's like, okay, we're like, oh, what if he was, had Scottie Pippen as a teammate, or what if he was on the same Bulls team, or what if Jordan was on the Cavaliers team, would he have taken him to the finals? Well, the same thing, like, well, what if he lived in this day and age with all the social media where if he had a bad game, which he's had bad games, he's missed shots at the end of a game. He would got way more scrutinized because that's just the day and age we live in. And every athlete has their lovers and their haters. Jordan would obviously also has his lovers and his haters. And his haters would be pointing out, oh, look at this, look at that. And, you know, putting him under a microscope of like, and then just continues getting bad, bashing of, things like that. And then, he didn't have the expectations coming out of college that LeBron did because nobody knew Michael Jordan was going to be that good coming out of college. Nobody thought he was going to be the best, potentially the best player ever. I mean, the fact that he had to even stay 3 years in college, because he wasn't either ready or he wasn't that good to where, like, people were like, oh, my God, I don't think you should, you should just come out. And I think the fact that he was already on, like I said, Sports Illustrated, cover magazine and magazines, and you know, his first game being televised, I mean, that's a lot of pressure. You know, coming from a single parent, not even knowing probably who your father is, and being raised in poverty and things like that, that, you know, that's also not something exactly, at least on the same level playing field of what Jordan had to go through. I mean, Jordan having to retire and, you know, wanting to go play basketball, I think a lot of it has to do with his own personal things that he has going on with his family, and that he decided, I mean, but that was his choice. It wasn't like he was forced to, you know, hey, we kicked you out of the league, and then, okay, now we're letting you back in. It's like, no, you chose to leave. Like, nobody forced you to do it. So, you know, LeBron could easily make, oh, I'm going to go play for the Browns and be a receiver or tight end. I mean, he's not going to go do it unless he really wants to do it. You know, so I think there, it's very difficult to say who's the, you know, who had the greatest sports story ever. I mean, shoot, Tom Brady has a great sports story.
Yes, he does.
I mean, being 199th pick, not being able to start even in college, being the backup in pros, and then now, you know, can't run. you know, you barely ever play out of the pocket. Have had multiple, besides Randy Moss, that one, maybe two seasons, never had a Hall of Fame receiver. Have never had a really Hall of Fame running back. You know, just being able to rotate players after players after players after players. But on the flip side, obviously, he does have to, you know, the benefit of having Bill Belichick. So, there's a lot of great sports stories, and I think it's like, it's really depends on how you want to look at the impact. And, you know, Muhammad Ali has the impact that I think a lot of people won't ever be able to touch.
Well, let me ask you this. Tiger Woods, if he was to come back and break the major record, would that be the greatest comeback of all time after everything he's went through?
Greatest comeback?
Well, you think that would be better than LeBron's?
No, because at the end of the day, you still have all those negative things tarnished as part of your career. The closest thing that LeBron has is televising the decisions. I mean, he's never been in trouble. He, as a big of an athlete and celebrity that he is, he didn't have to marry his high school sweetheart. He could have had his pickings if he wanted to.
Yeah, he could have.
But the fact that he stayed with her, loyal to her, you never hear any stories about him just like being on that forefront like potential other athletes are. You know, I know Michael Jordan used to be talked about like he always gambles and smoking cigars and staying up late, not sleeping. But now, of course, at the end of the day, all you care about is what he did on the court. But if you were to look at the other angles of it, I mean, you know, through the, whether it's University of Akron, I believe, that he's putting, you know, 1,100 kids through, you know, school, you know, and multiple other charitable donations that he does in the United States. Then he has his own charitable stuff that he does in China. You know, building an entertainment, you know, company. I mean, there's, and because what that does is also create jobs for people. And, you know, so it's like there's layers and layers to the things that he does to where I think I know he said it a statement. He's the greatest sports story ever. But if you look at the grand scale of what all he's done, it goes beyond just the sport of basketball. It goes beyond that. And that's the same thing that goes for Ali. Because Michael Jordan, if you look at him, the brand will always live on forever. That's something that's worldwide. It will live on forever. Everybody wants to. Shoot, when you're 5 years old, you don't even need to know who Michael Jordan is, but it's like,
you know what that shoe is.
Jordan's.
Yes,
come on. You know, so
my kids,
so
they got Jordan.
That goes a long ways. You know, being great, be the greatest in your, but other than that, he's never really done anything outside of on a social platform. You know, you look at some of these things that, but as much as cachet and weight and money that he has, he should probably say a lot more, especially being African-American. But you see LeBron probably doing a lot more social activism stuff, you know, speaking up about, you know, things that are going on with you know, with the killings of unarmed black men and stuff like that. And I think he at least is in the conversation. He's maybe not to the standard of what Colin Kaepernick is doing, but the fact that he's even at least putting himself out there. He didn't have to.
No, he didn't.
Nobody's forcing him to.
Yeah.
He's speaking out on it because he wants to do it for – he wants to do that because he was also trying to set an example for the next generation and his kids to be able to follow that, hey, when things like this that are not right, that are going on, like, use your voice, talk about it. Yeah, it's – it's not always about like, oh, you got money, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? No, like, what is money going to do? That's an easy way out.
That's
no,
very like, easy.
Talking about you're it right. and doing something about it, it goes long, a lot further than like, oh, let me just donate $1 million to Colin Kaepernick's little movement and I'll be done with it and keep my mouth shut. Like, oh, this is what I did. No, I'll give you more praise if you actually did something rather than just writing a check.
So now that you said that, it got me thinking. How about if Colin Kaepernick was able to come back to the NFL and win like 2 or 3 Super Bowls?
Ooh, now that would be...
That would probably be a better story.
Absolutely. Than anybody. If he was to come back, win Super Bowls, shoot, he can win one. I think it would be one of the greatest things in life that we've heard on the news. Not just sports, just in any industry, any part of life. That will be etched in, you know, our kids' history books when they go to class. It'll be in there of what this person did.
So speaking of history books, there are 3 guys that are in the Major League Baseball that people are trying to forget about when it comes to the Hall of Fame, and that's Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Roger Clemens. Serge, do you think those guys deserve to be in the Hall?
All 3 of them, 1,000%.
Yes, I am with you.
I think that there's already guys that are in the Hall of Fame that I know have done some similar things to what these guys have done. But at the end of the day, like, Barry Bonds, like, I know there was a shift in his game or whatever you want to call it, hitting home runs, especially, you know, after taking whatever paraphernalia he was taking. But he was already, before that, he was already one of the greatest
players ever. He didn't need to do that. A-Rod, he didn't need to do that.
Right. Mark McGwire, he was, just coming out, playing as a rookie. He was smashing home runs. I mean, so Roger Clemens, pitching. I mean, look at how he was in college. College, he was already that good. People thought he was going to maybe not as hard as throwing as Nolan Ryan, but winning games and being dominant, people thought he was going to be like the next Nolan Ryan. I mean, he came pretty darn close. This whole like 75% voting in, and out of all the sports, baseball has the worst Hall of Fame system.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of crap, man.
Worse than NBA. Like, just come on. You guys are behind on everything. This is why your sport doesn't get talked about. I mean, yeah, we'll probably talk about it as it gets closer to the season starting and stuff like that. God, but good Lord. Like, they just do everything wrong, it just seems like. And this is another thing, like the whole Hall of Fame thing. Like, you're worried about, at the end of the day, what did they do on the field?
Exactly. Look at ESPN when Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa came to bat. They would break what they were doing to show that.
Yeah.
Because they saved baseball. I don't care if they were on PEDs or whatever.
It was dying.
They saved the sport of baseball. Roger Clemens as well. And they want to say, well, put them on the hall with their names and an asterisk next to it. No.
No.
Because how many guys you have in the hall right now that were on drugs? Yeah, look at Babe Ruth. He was drunk when he was playing baseball. Should we put the asterisk next to his name?
Right.
To a guy that you're saying who is the best baseball player ever? No, I think he's the most overrated baseball player ever, but that's for another podcast. So, yes, those 3 guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because they saved the game, the sport of baseball, because nobody was watching it. So, hey, that's episode 8 of Sports Life Talk, where life without sports is just talk. Want to thank the Roberts Media Group and Blog Talk Radio for giving us this platform. Serge, when you come back, man, let's talk about your trip to India.
Okay, we'll do that.
And we'll talk cricket, because he will be in India watching cricket, and I will try not to fall asleep. Hey, thank you for listening. Where can they reach us at, Serge?
We can reach us at Sports Life Talk on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Sports Life Talk.
Episode 9, we'll talk cricket. Hey, you guys have a good one. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look.